It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is November 18th, 2021. And it is Thursday, and that means that I'm coming to you from much earlier, probably, let's do the math, 6 hours, so right around 1300 UTC is when I'm recording this, having to do that a little bit early, because, well, I'm trying to go back to work, and so here's day number two, trying it out. I'm not totally sure if it's going to stick. Last time, I forgot, or didn't have available a mouse or keyboard, had to use the laptop, but I couldn't find, this MacBook has USB-C ports, and so I ordered some adapters so that I could use my USB keyboard and mouse I have at work. I've since destroyed / wore out the accessories I had before. Anyway, long story short, it's going to be a trying day, but that's okay, because before we do that, it's time to talk about
world news.
That's right. So let's go ahead and do a first story here, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you can talk during the show. 15 people are dead in Sudan after anti-coup protests have been clamped down upon. Sudanese security forces shot dead at least 15 anti-coup protesters and wounded dozen more on Wednesday, medics said, in the bloodiest day since the military's October 25th takeover. The fatalities, all in Khartoum, especially its northern districts, raised to 39 the death toll from unrest since the military seized power, a pro-democracy doctors' union has said. Hundreds more have been wounded. The day's massacre reinforces our slogan, no negotiations, no partnership, no compromise with the military, said protest organizers from the Sudanese Professionals Association, or SPA. Spa. Relaxing. Not really, not this time. Demonstrators had taken to the streets across the capital, even though telephone lines and internet services had been disrupted since the military took over. The people chose civilian rule, demonstrators chanted, also shouting slogans against Sudan's ruler, top general Abdel Fattah al-Burhan. The demonstrators, mostly young men and women, clapped hands and ululated before the scene turned violent. As clashes broke out, the security forces also fired tear gas, injuring several more protesters. Police have denied using live ammunition, and state television announced an investigation into the deaths. The doctors' union said most of the casualties had suffered gunshot wounds to the head, neck, or torso, but added that demonstrators, undeterred and behind makeshift barricades, kept up their protests. That's really something. It's one thing when the people you're protesting against might shoot you with a rubber bullet or tear gas, but live bullet fires, live gunfires, just stepping it up even more. Wow. Demonstrations also erupted in Port Sudan against the coup, which halted a democratic transition that followed the 2019 toppling of Omar al-Bashir. It's a very bad day for the protesters, Soha, a 42-year-old protester, said. I saw a person with gunshot wounds behind me, and there were a lot of arrests. Efforts to stem the protests have seen hundreds arrested, including activists, passersby, and journalists. Qatari network Al Jazeera's bureau chief was arrested Sunday and released Tuesday. Whew. Wild stuff, right? It's always wild. The news is a trip. I do want to mention, if you want to chat during the show and hang out, or if you want to chat during any show on and on radio, the place to go is ComChat or Commode Chat. And to do that, you're going to want to SSH over to sdf.org, and once there, you're going to want to launch the program COM by typing COM at the prompt and press enter. You press G for go to, and then a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, and that will get you into the on-radio room where you can chat and hang out with people. Press H for help or the and Q to exit. Those are some common questions people have. So just do that, and then you'll be able to hang out with cool people like well, it depends. I'm recording this, so probably with cool people like Ratsu and X1, maybe Exiled, GTC 1977, M. Stoney, Ronald, and many more. There's a lot of people in there, and it's usually a lot of fun to chat during the show, even if it's not about the news or about whatever is going on. It just helps liven things up. So, anywho, sorry again, I can't be there live. Fingers crossed, I think I can take my lunch break at 1900 UTC today, and so I'll be able to be in comm while things are happening. Anyway, if I am in comm, hi me, hope you're doing well. Alright, let's get to it. We got a lot of world news to talk about.
World news.
Alright, in Mumbai, an Indian baby girl found in a drain is recovering. A 5-day-old baby girl who was rescued from a drain where she was left to die in the Indian city of Mumbai is recovering in a local hospital. Doctors at the Rajawadi Hospital told the BBC she was doing fine and her health was being monitored. Police said residents found the baby after a group of cats gathered at a spot along the road and began creating a ruckus, hissing and purring loudly. Officials are investigating how she ended up in the drain. How cool is it that the cat saved the baby? The baby. Police have not speculated on possible motives, but similar abandonments in the past have been blamed on India's preference for sons. Women are often discriminated against socially, and girls are seen as a financial burden, particularly among poor communities. The country's gender ratio is one of the worst in the world, and although most unwanted female fetuses are aborted with help from illegal sex determination clinics, cases of baby girls being killed or abandoned after birth are not uncommon either. So sad. In the latest incident, the baby was rescued by a woman-led police team from a suburban Mumbai neighborhood on Sunday. When the police arrived, they found the infant lying inside the drain, they said. The baby, dressed in a flimsy shirt and soaked in sewage water, was wailing in distress. Two officers scooped her out, wrapped her in cloth, and took her to the hospital. When we lifted the baby out, she was freezing. Her arms had turned blue. We asked for some warm water and cloth to clean the baby. Police Constable Sheeta Sonwane told the Times of India newspaper. Doctors are constantly monitoring her health. We will keep her under observation the next few days, Dr. Vidya Thakur, the medical superintendent, told BBC Marathi. The incident created a stir on social media. A photo shot by Mumbai police at the scene showed officers cradling the newborn, wrapped in a white cloth in their arms. So, very sad indeed. This is one of the reasons why we've got those safe boxes at the fire departments and around, usually in the United States anyway. If you have a baby and you want to abandon it and you don't want to tell anybody that you had the baby, there are like safe boxes at a lot of fire departments, and it's kind of like a bank teller window or a late night convenience store, corner store kind of window. You open up a window, you put whatever in the box, and then you close it. And once you close it, if you've put something inside, you can't open it again, but it sets off an alarm on the inside for them to come and open the door and get whatever's inside out. Usually, it's a baby. A wee baby. Alright, so that's going on there. Whew, man.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I know. We're going to hear a song, but there's so much news, we got to go through it. Police are having to guard an Indian actor after a hit film has sparked furor over the caste system there. The star of a hit new Indian film tackling the oppression of marginalized communities was under armed police guard Thursday after threats of violence. Jaibhim is a legal drama based on the true story of an activist lawyer fighting for a tribal woman whose husband was wrongly arrested and killed in police custody in 1993. The movie is the latest to highlight the plight of India's millions of tribal people and low-caste Dalits, or untouchables, at the bottom of the Hindu caste system. The film, released on Amazon Prime, it's available in the US, I checked earlier, has received rave reviews and usually, for a Tamil language movie, has been successful right across the country of 22 official languages. Jaibhim was briefly the highest-ranked film on movie database IMDb, beating Hollywood classics such as The Godfather and Shawshank Redemption. It also angered many people, which is why he's under guard in the southern state of Tamil Nadu, where it is set. In particular, the Vanayar caste community, who say that the film portrays them in a bad light. Vanayar Sangam, a body representing the community, has issued a legal notice seeking damages and demanding removal of certain scenes. And a member of the local political party offered 100,000 rupees, which is 1,340 US $1,000 to anyone who physically attacks the main actor, Saravan Sivakumar, better known as Suraya, who is also the film's co-producer. So that's why he's got people around them. So yeah, so it's very scary indeed. It's usually, if a movie makes this kind of waves, it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen. So I added it to my watch list. I'll probably check it out next week. Let's see. Let's see what Wikipedia says. The Vanyar, also spelled the Vania, formerly known as the Pali, are an Australoidian Dravidian community of Jati, found in the northern part of Tamil Nadu. Okay, that's not helpful. Let's see. I wanted to know where they fit in the cast name. Okay, here it is. They are a member of the Vaniars, derived their caste name from Vani, V-A-H-N-I. Vani itself is thought to yield the Tamil word Vani, fire, which is also a Tamil name for an important tree. So, all right. So now we can look up Vani caste. I'm curious where it is. Here it is, caste. Pali caste. Yeah, sorry, I was trying to see. Wikipedia does not have an easy to follow. I was trying to see if there was any kind of helpful, like, chart, hierarchical chart that would tell us. Here we are. So, Vani, or Vaishya, are merchants and landowners. I found the tree. You've got the gods, the Brahmin, which are the priests and the academics, the Kshatriya, which are warriors and kings, and then the Vaishya, which are merchant landowners, the Sudra, which are commoners and peasants, servants, and then the Untouchables, which are those Dalit people. They're the outcasts, street sweepers, latrine cleaners, those kind of people. So there we go. A little history there. I am talking way too slow. I'm so sorry. It's probably because I'm sleepy. Let's do one more story before we play a song. Here we go. Oh, this will seem insensitive, but will work out well.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Horrific scene. 10 people suffocate in overcrowded migrant boat off Libya. 10 people were found dead in the lower deck of a severely overcrowded wooden boat off the coast of Libya. Doctors Without Borders has reported. According to survivors, those who died on Tuesday suffocated after 13 hours on the cramped lower deck, where there had been a strong smell of fuel. In a difficult operation less than 30 miles from Libyan shores, the Doctors Without Borders team on board the charity's chartered search and rescue vessel, Geo Barents, reached the boat, carrying more than 100 asylum seekers attempting to reach Europe. Survivors told rescuers that there were people crammed on the lower deck who were unresponsive. After 99 people, all showing signs of acute stress and trauma, were brought on board, the rescue team found 10 dead bodies at the bottom of the boat. It took us almost 2 hours to retrieve them and to bring them on board, so they can have a dignified burial once arrived on shore, said Fulvia Conti, deputy search and rescue team leader of the Geo Barents. It was horrific and infuriating at the same time. This is another tragedy at sea that could have been avoided. One of the last survivors to leave the boat barely had time to understand what had happened to his fellow travelers before the Doctors Without Borders rescuers took his arm and helped him into the lifeboat. "Let me see their bodies," he told them. "They are my brothers. We come from the same place. We went through Libya together. I need to tell their families they are dead. Please let me see them." Some had to identify the body of a younger brother or friend who died in front of them a few hours earlier. In less than 24 hours, Geo Barents performed 3 rescues in the Maltese and Libyan search and rescue zones, bringing 186 people safely on board, including survivors from that boat. Those rescued were from Guinea, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Somalia, and Syria, and included several children, the youngest only 10 months old. With the attention of the European authorities focused on the humanitarian crisis on the Polish-Belarusian border, Geo Barents, with near 200 asylum seekers and 10 dead bodies, must urgently find a place to safely disembark. An estimated 1,225 people have died or gone missing while attempting to cross the Mediterranean. It's become the deadliest migration route, and it's shameful. Yeah, it's pretty rough. All right. Well, here's the song. I picked it out before I realized where I was going to stop. This is Pink Floyd, Breathe.
Non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the HDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. It is a non-radio powered by SDF. That was a cut of Breathe from Pink Floyd. And thank you so much for being here. I want to remind you, at 19:30 UTC, coming up in just about 10 minutes, you've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a super fun show that happens every single day at 19:30 UTC. Sometimes it can be a little short if the Cox or Charter or whoever the ISP is, gods decide that there should not be any internet access in Nebraska, I guess, but anywho, please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Super fun show. Go to anonradio.net for the full schedule, or if you are in comm, you can just press the equal sign, and that will show you a text-based version of the calendar, including showing what's currently playing and the upcoming shows. So it can be a lot of fun. Since it's Thursday, that means that... Excuse me. Sorry. That means pumpkin pie. I haven't seen this, but Mr. Bruges' pumpkin pie is going to be coming up, as well as language soup. And don't forget on Saturday and Sunday night at 2300 UTC, you got the Intergalactic Wasabi Mix and some other cool shows before that. So anyway, there's lots of cool stuff. Just check out anonradio.net and go to the archives if you want to find out what songs sound or shows sound like before you listen. All right, in China, let's get these headlines done.
World news.
We're going to run out of time. First, Ping Shui, SHUAI. Doubt cast on email from Chinese tennis star. The head of the Women's Tennis Association has cast doubt on an email released by Chinese state media attributed to tennis player Peng Shuai. The tennis star has not been heard from since she made sexual assault allegations against a top Chinese government official 2 weeks ago. In the email, Ms. Peng purportedly says the allegations are not true. Steve Simon, chairman of the WA, said the message only raises his concerns about Ms. Peng's safety. I've had a hard time believing that Peng Shuai actually wrote this email we received or believes what is being attributed to her. Written in her voice and published by the broadcaster CGTN, the email claims she is not missing or unsafe, adding, "I've been resting at home and everything's fine." Many reading on social media have cast doubts on its authenticity. She was a former one-ranked tennis doubles player and has not been heard from since posting an allegation about former Vice Premier Zhang Gaoli on Chinese media website Weibo early November. She alleged she was forced into sexual relations with Mr. Zhang, who served as the vice premier between 2013 and 2018, and was a close ally of China's leader Xi Jinping, in a post that was later taken down. She has not been heard or seen from publicly since. So this is looking very scary indeed. The image released by state TV appears to be a screenshot with a cursor hovering on the page, which has raised immediate suspicions about its authenticity. No other domestic media outlet has picked up the story. Prominent people do disappear in China. Sometimes it's billionaire businessmen, but it's usually not athletes. Sporting success, like Ms. Peng's, has become a key component of the ruling Communist Party's soft power push. That is, however, yet to include a Me Too moment. So, very disturbing indeed. Hopefully, she really is okay. Sorry about that. I am sleepy. I had to wake up early for this. I love you. All right. Germany hit by full force of COVID. Germany is in the grip of a dramatic fourth COVID wave, Chancellor Angela Merkel has said on the eve of a crisis meeting with regional leaders. Daily infection hit a new German record of 52,826 on Wednesday as European governments responded to a surge on much of the continent. Belgium announced a series of measures in an attempt to avoid a lockdown. "All the alarm signals are red," said Prime Minister Alexander De Croo as he told the people to limit personal contact. "Europe's map is quickly going red. We are the same. Children in Belgium will have to wear masks from the age of 10 rather than from 12. Working from home will become compulsory from Saturday for 4 days a week. Passes known as COVID-safe tickets will be required in theaters, cinemas, and museums. And a third booster vaccination will be rolled out for all Belgians by the end of April 2022. Austria imposed a lockdown on 2 million unvaccinated people on Monday and recorded record daily infections on Wednesday. Netherlands also reported record cases and has already brought in a partial lockdown. Sweden is introducing COVID vaccination passes since December 1st. If you're unvaccinated, you can't just carry on as normal. Your most important contribution is to get vaccinated," Social Affairs Minister there in Sweden says. And Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš said anyone who has not been vaccinated or could show they'd recovered from COVID-19 would be banned from accessing public events or services. Negative tests would no longer be enough. Slovakia had a record 8,342 cases. It's planning similar measures. Workplaces and non-essential shops will be accessible only to vaccinated staff or to people who could prove they had recovered. Vaccination rates vary across the continent. Slovak take-up is among the lowest in the EU at 44%, while the Czech rate is 58%. In Austria, it is 65%, and in Germany, 68%. Both Germany and Austria have reported queues at vaccination centers, but they have some of the lowest take-ups in Western Europe. So, yeah, it's going to be bad. Prepare yourself. There's going to be thousands and thousands of deaths, kind of like what we were talking about earlier in the pandemic. In the Ukraine, the latest COVID surge is attacking more children. So we've got that to look forward to. At least the graveyards won't have to be as big, I guess. 3-month-old Misha spent 10 days in a Kiev pediatric hospital, including 3 in intensive care, due to pneumonia triggered by COVID-19. He is one of an influx of young patients to the infectious disease hospital in Ukraine's capital, which has seen the coronavirus pandemic hit children much harder in recent months. "It's difficult when your baby suffocates. It's very scary," said Misha's mother, Katya Verbina. Fixing an oxygen mask on her son, the 29-year-old adds that she has lost 7 kilograms due to anxiety since he fell ill. The Kiev Pediatric Infectious Disease Hospital is a 100-bed facility reserved for children suffering from COVID, and it began seeing more patients with serious disorders when the latest surge of infections began this autumn. In spring, each patient needed 10 liters of oxygen per minute on average, but now it's 60 liters per minute, said Alina Ryzenskaith, the 32-year-old head of the intensive care unit. Why we need to know her age, I don't know. The latest wave has already brought the first COVID deaths in the hospital since Ukraine's outbreak began in spring 2020. 2 babies and a disabled 8-year-old boy. The treatments didn't work, says Ryzenskaith. One of Europe's poorest countries, ex-Soviet Ukraine, has been hit hard by the latest wave of coronavirus infections driven by the Delta variant, which is more contagious and dangerous for children. On Thursday, the country of around 40 million people recorded 752 new deaths from the virus, the third highest toll in the world after the U.S. and Russia. We are still falling down faster than everybody else. Alrighty. Well, so that kind of does that. We are down to the last 3 or 4 minutes of the show, so this is going to be a little bit quicker here for you. Zero COVID is not going to happen. Experts predict a steep rise in U.S. cases this winter. Total U.S. deaths from COVID may reach 1 million by spring, as vaccination rates remain lower than 60%. Just prepare yourself. You or someone you may know may be dying soon. Denmark accuses U.K. of breaking Brexit fishing deal over trawling ban. This is kind of a surprise because the U.K. and France are already having a spat over fishing. And now we're over here fighting with Denmark. Denmark's accused the UK of breaching the post-Brexit fisheries deal over plans to ban destructive bottom trawling in the North Sea Conservation Zone. The UK announced in February that it wanted to ban bottom trawling at the Dogger Bank Conservation Zone in the North Sea, a move hailed by environmentalists hopeful of seeing a resurgence of halibut, sharks, and skate in the once marine-rich life sandbank. In an interview with The Guardian, Denmark's fisheries minister, Rasmus Prehn, said such plans were not in line with the post-Brexit deal. The Brexit agreement ensures full access for EU vessels to fish in the UK waters until 2026, and therefore, of course, it is a very big problem for us if the British government is going to change that. We find that unacceptable, and it's a breach of our agreement. The charge opens a new front for the UK government, which is already embroiled in a rancorous dispute with France over fishing rights against a wider backdrop of post-Brexit tensions with the EU. So, good luck, UK. You wanted to Brexit, and now you gotta make friends. Philippines tells China to back off after a South China Sea clash. Philippines say Chinese Coast Guard blocked and fired water cannon on 2 of its supply ships inside its exclusive economic zone. Angola is readying $445 million to build 21 logistics hubs. The Angolan government plans to invest this money by 2038 in order to minimize the challenges of goods transport, which is still heavily dependent on roads. The information was published today in Soyo Zaire province by the Minister for Transport at the launch of the international public tender for the concession, construction, operation, and commercial management of the logistics zone in Zaire. Pretty darn cool. All right, we're going to hear some music, or hear the exit in a second. So the UAW, last couple stories here. The UAW is claiming that the John Deere strike is over, but a lot of people are saying they've been pressured. The WSWS.org, the World Socialist website, has an article about the claims that the Deere contract ratified is due to an intense intimidation campaign. And then, to top it off, The Nation has a story, only democracy can save one of America's greatest unions. We need strong unions more than ever, which means giving UAW members a real say in how their unions run. There's a lot of trouble in the UAW, and that's who was with John Deere.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day. Oops. I accidentally stopped recording. So here's some filler until we get to the full 30 minutes.